You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey now, 9:08 in the morning, you're on Wake Up Tucson, the fourth hour tradition. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Matthew Neely, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
He's hanging out for a couple hours with me. If you miss anything, go to kvoi.com. We had the sports intern on today, Mark Van Buren doing Michael Caine movies. And then, of course, we had Rebecca Wicker from Dedicated Bakery on Speedway between Columbus and Swan, right next to the Mama's Pizza over there. And basically the entire crew now at KVOI has been digging into the baked goods, and thumbs up.
Darned yummy.
You would never know that. It's, quote, gluten-free.
Really good. Yeah. Really, really good. By the way, we got 3 days off, and a lot of other folks do, too. So if you need to do some catching up, like the Raheem Romero interview and stuff like that, all the stuff from this past week is up on our podcast, and you can find them on our website, kvoi.com. Also at iTunes, right?
Yes, and Google Podcasts.
And Google Podcasts. Look at that.
So I subscribed on iTunes. It's nice to have it. Like the good old days.
Right. That's true. So here we are, this whole technological...
Back to the future. That's us. Good old days. Revisited.
Yeah, the first several... That's really how I got to become a fan of the show is I would download them on iTunes. And at the time, for my job, I was flying around the country a lot. And so I would catch up on these long flights. And that's when I really got to know the show better.
And you're like I am, right? You're a local talk guy. You like, there's sure. A certain people, that's what they do.
Absolutely. It's nice to hear what's going on.
And I'll even listen to bad local talk if I'm in another city, just because I like local talk. Because all this national stuff that's going on, nothing's changed. Right? All the yelling and the screaming, and nothing's changed, right? In relation to Trump's still president, that's Nancy right. Pelosi's still Speaker of the House, and Chuck Schumer's not in control of the Senate. Nothing's happened.
Wake me up when you got some news.
This side's mad at that side, and that side's mad at this side. And
that's right.
Everything
that's
good is what Trump did before they lost the House, or he did it unilaterally through executive order, right? And all this stuff hasn't changed any of that.
Nope. He's, like you said, he's still the president.
Right? And through all the bashing that he's taken over all of these years, you would think his approval rating would be at 12.
Yeah. Right.
It still bumps between 44 and 52.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, Barack Obama, sometimes better.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Meanwhile, Michael...
I can't admit that.
Meanwhile, Michael Avenatti is...
yeah.
He used his political bullets, and he's now gonna go to jail, probably, or something.
Screaming and
he may actually go to jail, as opposed to the president.
In the end, right, nothing's changed, right? It's still the same balance of power, right? Trump had to make his deal to get on part of the budget to get the military stuff. He had to do other spending plus that. So now, of course, our deficits are bigger, even though we did have a 1 month surplus of $160 million last month.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, that's why, again, kudos to all you people doing national shows. I got it. But you know something? You keep hearing it, right? But nothing actually has changed anything in the balance of anything.
Maybe the sex strike, that'll move the needle.
Oh, what? What?
So Georgia passed their abortion law, all right? So was it, Alyssa Milano, of course, the world award-winning actress from Who's the Boss?
Oh, well, that's a hit for you.
She played Tony Danza's daughter.
This is it. That's her claim to
then
fame.
Then she moved on to Charmed.
I did right? not know that.
And then, she, of course, she was in the first, I believe, was she, yeah, the first Poison Ivy movie?
First one.
I think she was in the first
is
Poison
Ivy. Is that the good one? Or
there were two?
Well, this was the one that was very erotic.
Okay. There were two.
I don't know what that really means.
Right.
So what she said is, because she's now a big political
pundit. Of course. Because she was on
Because she was in
Crowd.
Who's the Boss,
yeah,
right?
Whatever.
With Judith Light. It was great. But she says women should, we're going to abstain from sex. Women in Georgia should abstain from sex until they change the law.
Yeah, how long do you think that's going to last?
So. There some people have staying power more than others. I don't know. So anyway, that's what Mets. That's my thing about local talk, right? And is the idea that I can listen to the national shows, but after a while, it's the same stuff.
It's the same thing.
Even the people who are defending Trump, even ones who do it in a very intelligent manner.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We only have so much to talk about.
What are we doing? Right? You want to talk about the nuts and bolts of government? Let's have that discussion. You want to talk about infrastructure stuff? Let's talk about infrastructure stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about these numbers we've been throwing around on Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
I can have that discussion. Let's do that.
No. We have to talk about impeachment and.
But we keep talking. Who can watch that? I mean, even so, CNN, which they're the real experiment as part of this, right? And MSNBC, don't get me wrong, but MSNBC is so much more left than CNN in a way. I think the real hardcore liberal likes the personalities of MSNBC better than the stiffs on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're a liberal, you think Rachel Maddow is the greatest thing in the world.
I guess, huh?
Right? And then you like...
She's not on CNN, she's on CNBC?
MSNBC.
Okay. Thanks.
And then, of course, you got Joe and Mika in the morning, so you got Mika's a hardcore lefty, she's married to Joe... now, and Joe's that reformed Republican, right? He finally came to his senses.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
But you looked at CNN. There's nothing but stiffs on CNN, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cuomo, Saliza, Anderson Cooper. The only thing that Anderson Cooper
My
has
guy.
Going,
Wolf.
Right. The only thing Cooper has is that he's a knockoff of Gary Davison physically.
Right.
Right.
Anderson Cooper is Gary Davison.
Right, but when you look at their numbers just tumbled after the Mueller report didn't have the payoff, that's what you're talking about. Well, what did they do? They went back to it and said, oh, we got to do more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? All these newspapers after the Trump election said they had their come to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
New York Times, Washington Post, Democracy Dies in the Darkness. Now think about this. They came out with Democracy Dies in the Darkness after Trump gets elected.
Mm-hmm.
And what do? They start doing newspaper articles based on three unnamed sources.
Right.
Feels a little dark to me.
One of whom the reporter has a relationship with.
Right.
You know?
And
like the old editor at the Times, I think the famous quote was, let's see now, I don't care if you're dating an elephant. I'm trying to say it right here, but I don't care if you're dating with elephant, but you better not be writing stories about the circus. So it was something like that. So that back in the old days, there was that line like, hey, if you're involved with somebody, that's fine, but you're going to be covering something different.
So when we come back, I want to... Matt's got a couple of things we got to get to. He has something where he does a little contrast between California and Arizona when it comes to taxes for roads and things like that. But I do want to get to this real quick because I always love talking about college. I'll just love it. A narrative by the CNNs and MSNBCs of the world. I almost did a rush there.
Yeah.
Quote, President Trump's election has made racists come out in the open, right? That's been a big narrative, right? That he emboldens people to be racists.
Yes.
Like the Border Patrol guy. So what we're going to do is there's a study done by two sociologists from the University of Pennsylvania, the Quakers.
Mm-hmm.
And is America less or more racist now that Donald Trump has been president for the last 2 years? And we'll find out after this.
All right.
After these messages. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice.
Ooh. We're going to chill for a minute here. You guys getting me all wound up. Ooh. Little summer madness with Cool in the gang. It's instrumental.
Wow.
That's it.
I'm feeling the groove.
That's it.
Wow.
So,
Matt Neely, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Were you about to say something?
Before we get going, I just wanted to share over the airwaves this lovely... I brought my own microphone today.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You see that thing. Ooh.
Sweet, huh?
It's beautiful.
It looks like a wooden home plate.
So I was the chair of the School of Dance Board for the last 3 years.
At the University of Arizona.
At the University of the best school of dance in the country.
Yes.
The best is...
Is that true?
Yes, they're fantastic. Well, I mean, you got Juilliard in that, but the best one at a public university.
Okay.
They're fantastic. I'm telling, and I want to have them on again. But so at the end, you know, we've had Jory on the show, the chair of the School of Dance, Jory Hancock.
Who was that young lady who came on?
Whitney Herr-Buchholz.
Okay.
And fantastic. We've had a couple students on over the years. And so part of, I just finished my 3 years as the chair of the board. And so they did something incredibly thoughtful. They got me a plaque.
Right.
But they actually got this beautiful Shure Model 555 vintage microphone. And they mounted it up on there. And they said, thank you for your dedication and service to the School of Dance. And it was a very thoughtful and touching gift. And I really liked the thought that Jory put into it, and also, you know, the nod to their radio appearances over the years. And we also, it's kind of an inside story, we needed to get a microphone at our board meetings because we got 30 people on the board and it was hard for some of them to hear. So, and it was kind of, we kind of had as a process getting that all squared away. So it was kind of a two kind of stories behind the gift, but it's an incredibly thoughtful gift. They got the mic from Mark Maselli, who Ed's met, who does the sound there. He's got a history of doing concert tours for big bands, and just like the guy you had on the other day.
Oh, that's right.
Mark. And so he says, well, I got some old mics. So he got this great vintage Shure microphone.
That's amazing.
So
I was
just blown away. Congratulations. Thank you for what you've done.
I know this U of A dance thing is something you got hoodwinked into, and you've taken it to a whole other level.
It's not true.
No, but you got there and you embraced it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Let me finish. You got kidnapped, but then everything was great afterwards.
I love what they're doing there. I love what they're doing there. It's if you get a chance, go see, and I'll gone with Ed, and we'll take you and Mrs. DeSimone one of these days.
Love to.
We'll go. You just really love it.
It's a big, black, cool-looking building on the U of A Mall.
Stevie Eller Theater.
Yepers. What's that? It's not brown. Not yellow.
It's got some brick, I think, on the sides. So
I'm just saying, that's not me hitting. This is there's pink. A panel over here to the left. Hmm. You said big blank black. Building, and they got you.
But it's a fantastic thing. It's a one of those best kept secrets that we're trying to make not a secret.
So, you know, I was on that Pima County Transportation Advisory Committee.
Sure.
And Allie's been working pretty hard to get me my award from Chuck, my appreciation award.
The
and
one
so
that you gave back.
I just got an email from communications. I'm getting the first ever Philobomb in the shape of a middle finger. So,
hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom, for making that for me.
Do we still have a... Do we still have a caller?
We do. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's go to Bill on line two. Bill, what's shaking?
Hello, guys. Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Good morning.
Chris, I want to go back to the original you commented a few minutes ago about some liberal actress is going to want to withhold, abstain from sex because something about abortions, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, they don't really think things all the way through because she actually solved her own problem. Because if you don't have sex, you won't need an abortion.
My cousin Jimmy said the same thing on his Facebook page. He's like, I agree with her. She should not have sex.
Right?
Yeah,
thus eliminating the chance to have an abortion.
I mean, just
brilliant.
Say no.
Win-win.
Yeah. These people just don't think things through. They just spout off and make really silly stuff. But anyways, I had to pull over after I heard that one.
That's two people we've gotten to pull over today.
Billy, thanks for the call. Have a great weekend, buddy. So I got to get to this real quick, and then we got to get to Matt has a little breakdown out of California on some road tax discussion. But so this is off of the old collegefix.com.
Great website.
Yeah, I love that website. University of Pennsylvania. And I always love the headlines. Remember we had the Blackbirds from Long Island last year?
Nonsense.
We got to get rid of the Blackbirds.
Last week, yeah.
I like this one. High school may erase mural of George Washington because it traumatizes students. That's a great one. Yes, sir.
Finish this. You reminded me of something.
Yes, sir. So they did the... this is a sociologist, Daniel Hopkins and Samantha Washington, found that in their... This is the name of their research paper, The Rise of Trump, The Fall of Prejudice. According to them, since the 2016 election, white Americans expressed anti-black and anti-Hispanic actually declined.
Hmm.
So it says, moreover... So,
whose fault is that? Let's see.
Okay. Are we deviating from the narrative here, Mr. DeSimone?
Yes, we are.
Oh, my goodness.
It says, because, of course, that the places like the Southern Poverty Law Center, of course, have endlessly reported that Trump's election resulted in an explosion of hate. So the study followed 2,500 Americans, which they had been following since 2008.
So we have a trend.
Right.
We have a trend with the same group of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indicated a, quote, sharp dive in racist attitudes that was statistically significant. Contrary to expectations, the fall was as evident among Republicans as it was among Democrats.
Hmm.
There was also a general fall in anti-Hispanic prejudice also, although this was more evident among Democrat voters.
Can we put the John Wayne statue back up? Then, I mean, because, you know, we have a study we can use to cite.
They basically, so what they're saying, what's interesting, it says that they said that there's the part of the big fall, a larger fall of anti-Hispanic came from Democrat voters. You mean there's Democrats who don't like Hispanics? What? That's not what Tim and
going
Sarah
against
would
tell the narrative.
Me.
These people are going to get a letter.
So again, this is not from the, you know, some Republican think tank. This is from the University right. of Pennsylvania.
Right.
We can't get more left-wing snowflakey.
Probably not.
We can't get more snowflakers than the Quakers at thank you, Chris at KVOI.com.
Where's the ding?
Oh,
you get
sorry.
A ding for that one.
Thank you for that. So anyway,
it's a Johnny
Matt,
Cochran award.
So Matt, I brought up the fact of the Blackbirds. Hold on. Of
those thank judges, you. Man. They're
no, they're on it now.
Long Island University, Brooklyn is. The president says they got to get rid of Blackbirds. It's gone. They have nowhere else. They have nothing else to go to. But she says she's heard people that are upset by it. So, and then I said something that you said. Finish your thought. What did it remind you of?
Well, this was what Councilwoman Romero was talking about the other day with the Pancho Villa statue.
Right.
And it's like, well, it's okay, and it's not my top priority, and, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, we had an arts panel review it, and we're good. Right? I got more important. I got bigger fish to fry. You know? And so that's fine, but it's this hypocrisy, right? They went through the Civil War statues and all that stuff and all the and memorials and roadside markers, the one in Arizona, I guess, I've never seen that, I guess, became controversial. But then it's like, well, this isn't the biggest thing in the world. And then they switched over. They were defacing Lincoln statues
right.
and Teddy Roosevelt and Christopher Columbus. Lincoln. And you got a local blogger who says, well, he was, you know, he's a racist. Like, really? Really? The guy that saved the country, you know, during the Civil War,
right.
saved the country. There's a big memorial for him in D.C., you know? Why don't we, you know, we're going to tear that down, too? And then so they worked their way through all these political and cultural things. They said, oh, the John Wayne statue at Orange County Airport, right?
So right.
At SNA. We got to take that thing down because that guy said something bad.
I've taken a picture with
him. In an interview, was it in a men's, was it in Playboy? Is it some interview, right?
Right.
And yeah, he said some outrageous things in 1970 or
yes.
something. And we're going to take this guy's whole body of work and significance to Orange County and Newport Beach. We're going to take that and we're going to flush it all down the toilet.
Let's get to a, not that this is going to surprise
so,
anybody.
But anyway, yes, just to finish it up. And so then here in Tucson, it's like, oh, well, you know, Pancho Villa, he's, you know, he is what it is.
Yeah, John Wayne has never been known to slaughter anybody.
Not, well, outside of a role in a movie.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, but then we swing it around and we say, well, this Pancho Villa wasn't all that great of a guy. Matter of fact, there's people alive today who had relatives, you know.
If I want to take this really ridiculous, so Pancho Villa massacred those people in Columbus, New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
named after a Native American killer named Christopher Columbus.
Right.
So maybe they think you shouldn't have been living in that place.
you know, they get the narrative going, and then when you point something out that follows the narrative that is not in their favor, whoops.
A Northern California public school district may be removing a mural of George Washington the halls of George Washington High School due to the concerns that it's offensive or demeaning to Native American and African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The controversy came after a working group determined that the mural, made up of several panels, quote, traumatizes students and community members.
Good.
Well, and now you've got the UC Irvine Anteaters, the UC Santa Clara Banana Slugs, and the Scottsdale Community College Artichokes. Well, I guess that won't offend anybody.
We're going to get to cauliflower in a second. So 1936, Victor Ardanoff painted 13 panels to make up the life of Washington. He was a prominent Russian-American painter who created the murals as part of the Works Progress Administration under the New Deal. So, of course,
no, under the New Deal, the New Deal funded such such racist acts.
The life of the Washington mural be archived and removed because that's a new word. When you want to throw it in the garbage, you're going to archive it because the mural does not represent the values of the school district. And of course, it glorifies slavery, genocide, colonization, and manifest destiny.
Colonial. Yeah, we're going to get to that, too.
So now, real quick, let's get to AOC. And you sent this to me.
Mm.
This is so good. This is from dailymail.com. AOC says growing cauliflower is colonial, as she insists the community garden central to the New Green Deal should only grow culturally significant plants like yucca.
And plantains.
Yes.
Which won't grow there. Which won't grow.
She said that people of color ought to be growing familiar foods.
Mm-hmm.
She said they're alienated by not being able to grow their native vegetables. She says you're taking a colonial approach to environmentalism if you're planting cauliflower in your community gardens.
Absolutely. We're on the crazy train, and it's going way off the tracks now.
Critics pointed out that the yucca, the plant she said is so culturally significant, would, of course, struggle to grow in New York's colder climate.
But other than that...
So that what you would need, of course, is the taxpayers to pay for greenhouses so she could grow yucca in New York.
Okay, sure.
That's what I would do. Mm-hmm. You know, $72 million for a yucca greenhouse in the middle of Central Park. Real quick, let's get a quick call in. This is... let's go to the phones. We have Anthony Crispo. He is the GM of South Lawn Cemetery. He has a special announcement of something coming up. Anthony, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for the invitation.
There's something going on that's very significant. You know, it's Memorial Day weekend that you're involved with.
It is.
Tell us what's going on.
Well, traditionally, we have a Memorial Day service here at the cemetery, and where we honor all of our veterans who have served and fallen in the preservation of our liberty. But this year is particularly significant in the sense that we are receiving on the day after Memorial Day, we're receiving the remains of Sergeant Creed E. Shuey, who was killed in World War II in the Battle of Bataan. Actually, he was taken prisoner of war along with about several thousand other U.S. and Philippine service members and were held hostage at the Corregidor POW camp. And over 2,500 POWs perished at that camp during the war. But his remains have been – he's a Tucsonan, a native Tucsonan. He was born in 1919 and served in the Army as a sergeant in World War II. And his remains have been, for 77 years, have been there in the Philippines, where we were asked by the Army to help repatriate Sergeant Shuey, and we'll be bringing him in to our care on Tuesday. And I just wanted the community, I'm sure, would want to know about this very special return of a Tucson hero as he comes back to Arizona, where he will be interred at the Arizona Veteran Memorial Cemetery in Marana. Before that, we'll have he'll be in repose here at South Lawn and have a memorial service or a service scheduled for Wednesday, the 29th at 10 o'clock here at South Lawn, and then he will be buried on Thursday the 30th. Probably will be a very special procession, a very special funeral cortege for the sergeant going to Marana. The Tucson Police Department and Fire Department are all be involved. It's a very fitting tribute to Sergeant Shuey, although 77 years is a long time to welcome someone back.
But so Wednesday you're going to do a memorial service for the sergeant.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You said 10 o'clock in the morning?
It's 10 o'clock. It's we'll be at South Lawn in our chapel. And we wanted to give as many people as an opportunity to come and pay their respects to do that. And we realized many of our, particularly some of our World War II vets, aren't able to make it out to Marana, so we just want to be able to give them an opportunity to come and just be with a fallen comrade.
And where is South Lawn?
5401 South Park Avenue, just south of Irvington.
Okay. Well, sir, thanks for doing what you guys are doing over there at South Lawn. And if you guys can make it, 10 o'clock on Wednesday, they're going to do a memorial service for POW Sergeant Creed Shuey, whose remains have been in the Philippines up till now for the last 77 years.
Wow.
So.
Yes. Yeah, we're very, very honored to be a very small part of this his return, but our nation and community certainly welcomes him home.
Anthony, thanks for doing what you're doing, sir, and hopefully we can get as many people out there to honor the sergeant, sir.
Our privilege. Thank you for taking my call.
Anytime. Have a good weekend.
Blessings, and have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
You too, sir.
Bye.
9:37 in the morning. When we come back, Matt has a thing about California and comparing it to Arizona a little bit with how people are using your tax dollars. So 790-2040 wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com.
I got a big old bottle of soda pop with a straw coming out of the top on my little lounge chair. 10 years old and just lazing with some potato chips, man.
maybe a kite.
Is it summertime? Yeah. Those watermelons in the stream.
Love it.
You beat me to
that
it.
That is so great. What a great story. What a great memory.
Mm-hmm. The problem is he keeps them in the gutter over on his neighborhood because there's always a broken pipe from Tucson Water, and he just leaves the watermelon in there now.
Well, yeah, is it cool water?
Well, the good thing is that there's so many mattresses on the street that the it never breaks.
You know, because of the it all soaks it up. It's real nice. We say.
Really?
Nice. It's good to see Zach walking by because it reminded me to promote his show. Zach Yenser's Creative City Show coming up next.
Stay tuned. It's a good listen.
It is.
All right, Matt. You brought this. You showed it to me like an hour and something ago. Matt, he just heard it on the delay. tell us. This says lawmakers consider a bill to return VLT revenue to California cities. Tell me more.
I was in California 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
I took my dad on an honor flight. I was his guardian.
Right.
It was really special. So we got back, and the next morning I got up early and perusing the paper, and I reading about...
Which paper was this?
The Inland Valley... Well, I think it's just called the Daily Bulletin now.
But okay.
It's the Ontario Upland Cucamonga newspaper.
Rancho
Cucamonga. Thank you, Jack Benny.
I just heard one at the train station yesterday, so
yeah.
I heard Mel Blanc saying Cucamonga.
Great. That's the last city I lived in before I moved to Tucson. I was living in the Alta Loma, kind of they call the section of Rancho Cucamonga. So anyway, so I'm reading this article about how lawmakers soon may return $200 million in annual revenue that they took from cities 8 years ago, restoring funding that city officials say could be used to boost police and other services. It would undo a 2011 budget bill, which diverted some vehicle licensing fees to the state to help offset the budget deficit, but in the process crimped many city budgets. And as I read this, I thought, did I get back to Tucson already with the local paper complaining about the legislature? No, it's lawmakers in Sacramento soon might return some of the $200 million that they swiped, that they swept, funding sweeps.
Hold on. Now, but the thing is, California's legislature is uber Republican, right?
No, yeah, something like that. And the recession was really bad, right? It was a really bad. And Arizona had the highest per capita debt in the entire country. So it wasn't dollar wise the biggest debt, but per capita was the biggest debt.
Right.
So in California, they're gonna try to restore some of the funding cuts that in California they also had to do because why? Because times were very tough, right? And they had to make some difficult decisions with money. Right. And even this assemblywoman, Sabrina, wait a minute. Where's her name? Well, it doesn't matter. The assembly.
Hold on. What about the Richard? You know, Richard Elias has that. And I've seen Ramon once in a while. He has that. They have those bracelets.
Mm-hmm.
It says WWCD.
Okay.
D. WWCDD. And I was.
What would Christy Simone do?
Close. What would California Democrats do? And now we learned
they did the same thing
that the California Democrats decreased the amount of vehicle license tax returning to a city because they had to offset a budget.
HERF sweeps. Oh, my goodness. They did HERF sweeps. And so Andrea D'Alessandro, you just happened to hear her talking about it recently. So all you folks that talk about and your afternoon guy here talking about the evil state legislature and HERF sweeps, guess what? It's not unique to Arizona. It's not unique to Arizona's legislature, who I know you all don't like. But even this assemblywoman, whose name was Eloise Gomez Reyes, she's a Democrat from San Bernardino, she said, when we have bad times in California, we expect cities and counties to step up and take the hit. We're financially in a better situation now, and I think the fair thing to do is get the money back to them. I will continue to fight for this until it's finally signed by the governor, who is not a Republican, in an assembly that is not a Republican. So I saw that, and it just jumped off the page at me, because it's like, you know, we're fed a steady diet here of our wacko legislature here, right? And HERF sweeps, and that's why our roads look like, you know, bombed out Kandahar or something. And you know what? It was a bad recession, okay? Deal with it, and some communities have.
I just love the idea that the California Democrats, liberal California Democrats, did exactly what the uber right-wing, quote, legislature did in Arizona.
Thank you. Yeah. And even a Democrat assemblywoman said, hey, times were tough. You know, the cities had to
chip
help
in.
Out, had to chip in, right? So,
well played, Matt Neely.
Thank
and
you.
The Inland Cucamonga Courier, whatever the hell this thing's called.
Can we talk about PDQ Records when we come back?
Absolutely.
All right.
It's like having a sorbet after a
yes,
heavy dinner.
Yes, we need that. Yeah.
Cleanse the palate after my Philibon finger story earlier. It's 9:48 in the morning. Hold on. Judges? Wow, they're okay with that.
Very nice.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Finger. Well played. Thank you, judges.
9:48 in the morning. We have imaginary judges that Matt and I just talked to.
Yeah.
I slipped him a five.
Wow.
In the last break. So I think that kind of softened him up.
It's like FIFA. 9:48 in the morning. Let's go.
We're gonna play a couple of California summer songs for the California kid on the way out today, all right?
I prefer the original artist on this.
We got Eddie out of his chair. Or the Trashmen, were they from Seattle or were they a California band? Trashmen.
What's the second Trashmen song?
The Bird Part 2.
I don't know. Probably back then. You're good, right?
You mean like the three different
more
twists?
Bird.
Dancing with Santa and Surfing Bird. Remember Surfing Bird? Yeah.
Surfing Bird.
Yeah.
That's the one you just did.
Yep. Maybe they did the.
So the Ramones
did the
covered
Trashmen,
it, right?
Did the Philibon finger?
Exactly.
Or,
what'd you say?
Did the Trashmen do the Philibon finger also? There we go.
Oh, this is the second one. You're totally right. It was called the Bird Dance Beat.
I get the ding. Oh. Yes!
He's a real surfer. He knows. Good stuff.
Play Dancing with Santa. I want to make it sound like, I bet it sounds exactly like Surf and Burn.
Right? No. They were getting like feely, the feely side of the trash man.
That's their ballad.
There you go.
Oh, my Lord. This is what we're doing here on a cold Memorial Day weekend.
I know.
We're playing Dancing with Santa by the freaking Trashmen. PDQ Records, you had the original owner on this show when you were filling in for me.
First time, yeah. Yep. First time out. He was great. It was really liked what he had to say about, you know, just getting to the essence of why the business worked. And he says, everybody has a song that either reminds them of a girlfriend or a boyfriend or some particular point in their life. Every song means something to somebody out there, right?
Right.
And so that was really, to me, the crux of the interview, was when he got down to what music means to people and why his business worked out. And of course, he reopened it. You talked about, you know, going there in the old days, and I agree with you. I've always thought of it as much of a museum as a store, and I've always kind of shared that same view. Always liked going there. And so when he had recently reopened, so I went to see him, and I went over there. I said, hey, I'm going to be doing this thing in a couple of weeks, and would you like to be on and talk about PDQ Records? And he says, yeah, sure. And next thing you know, I look over my right shoulder, and there's a camera looking at me and Jack and Frank Luna. And next thing you know, next day we're in the paper because the Star was doing some sort of article about him reopening.
Nice.
And so another error in judgment of them to put a picture of me in their paper, but you know, that's okay.
I think you're ruggedly handsome.
So Jack, you know, he came on the show and we had a great time. He wouldn't put the headphones on, right? And poor Ed, he's sitting across the glass and he wants to get in on the conversation. And he says, would you tell him to put those things on?
What did he say? Wow.
So he put the headphones on, but it was a real fun interview we had with him. But I wanted to bring up the story, and that's why I brought my prop comic stuff. One time I went there, probably, I don't know, 99, 98, something like that, and my turntable had died, right? And so I wanted to go over there, and I remember they had some equipment. So I went and talked to the guy that sold the equipment and serviced the equipment in the back of the store. And I ended up, he took me around the store. So we got a turntable. And he says, he introduced me, okay, here's the record labels that you want to look out for, and like the logos that they have. So they have the RCA Living Stereo logo with the speakers. You know, it's kind of the classic logo. And Command Records, they were really into high fidelity. And so they went through a phase where they were doing record albums on 35 millimeter film because the tape was so big and they had better bandwidth and they could really get super fidelity on there. So he takes me through the store and he's just picking out random stuff, and it's nothing that I was particularly looking for, right? It was just all this easy listening music that was recorded in the late 50s, early 60s, high fidelity days, you know? So I went home with my new old record player and my collection of albums, and yeah, good stuff. You know, it was one of those days that just turned into a really neat experience there. And
so
that's what I liked about
what
that
I want
place.
You to do, because you brought in these albums. Ed got a call. The Trashmen are from Minneapolis.
Thank you.
So give me a run through of these albums. Why do you have them? Give me, we got like 3 minutes, yeah, but give me a little run through of the albums you brought.
Well, and the guy recommended, just because, again, examples of good fidelity, you know, and a time where the recording industry was certainly before the digital era, right, where they were trying to do some things. Well, you got Sketches by Sketch. That's Sketch Henderson. He was the band leader of The Tonight Show before Johnny Carson. And then this pervasive percussion, that was Terry Snyder, directed by Anok Light, and that was on the Command record label. And and this stuff, they would bounce stuff around back,
yes,
and forth between the channels. It's crazy.
It was the first stereo stuff, and I had a bunch of those. My brothers had a bunch of those. It's Brother's Day, by the way.
That's true.
And they all had that really artsy cover, the different colors. That one's got green, then they had red, then blue. But it was all just really playing with stereo sound, and people went, wow, that is so cool.
I'm looking at your persuasive percussion and the personnel of the Terry Snyder and All-Stars. First person, Tony Mottola.
Yep, there you go.
So, I'm just looking at some of the titles here, and I was looking at the panel, right? La Cucaracha's on this.
Oh, no. No.
You know what's on that one?
Rocco Bongo Boogie.
In a Persian Market is on there, which is a great tune. That was the Tom Tom. That was the music they used on the Tom Tom, Navigator app back in the early 2000s.
Lady
great
of
tune.
Spain.
Yeah. That's a three album. That's a three album series, and just it really sounds great.
Tell me about Shep Cook Concert Tour of Mars.
Oh my gosh, great album.
Tucson Shep Cook.
Yeah, so he kind of wanted to do some solo stuff after all of his years. It's a great history of him written on the back cover of this thing. Roller Coaster Ride appeared on KDKB's Arizona Sounds Volume 1, and that's how I kind of got into finding this album, Concert Tour of Mars. Just a concept album that he did. Also, the title song Concert Tour of Mars is fun to listen to, and it's actually on YouTube, not by me, but it's on YouTube. And then PDQ, they had all the old KDKB Arizona Sounds albums where they would get local artists. They had Bob Meehan
tell me about Dusty Chaps. Sounds of Skyline with Bob and Bert.
I haven't listened to this, but it's great cover art, and the personnel on it, these are the guys that played the Lounge and the Crown Room at the
Skyline Country Club.
Skyline Country Club on the cover.
And the guys are, and I've asked Lori about it, I don't remember, Bob Carter is Bob, and the sparkling music of Bob Carter and Bert Oyen.
Not related to Lori Oyen?
I don't know. I don't remember if we ever...
Oh, here's some persuasive percussion.
In a Persian Market, baby.
Just end with this. Matt Neely, thanks for your service today, as always.
Have a blessed Memorial Day and take time to think about the people that gave their lives so we could all be free.
Amen, brother. Everyone have an amazing weekend. Zach's coming up next. Ed, love you, man. Have a great weekend.